Visible is a wireless carrier that is not invisible. It is pretty clear from the name. Actually, radio waves are invisible. And I can say this with authority as a licensed amateur radio operator. That being said, Visible won't be giving you the power to see light outside the visible spectrum. It's actually way better because having that ability would make getting around very difficult and distracting. What you do get with Visible is unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You get one line of wireless, just $25 a month, which is great in these times of economic uncertainty. That is one line for $25, taxes and fees included. So whatever you're doing at this moment, please stop. Switch immediately. Now, monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com.
Wir gerne sehen, was ist los? It's deinen Freund, Seth. I'm learning German. Yeah, in case you didn't know what that was. That is me trying to impress you with the little German that I know. Right now, I am actually learning German. I took it in high school. I goofed off the entire time. I did some other language learning apps. They taught me things like where the taxi stand is and how to find a bus, but not a lot of conversational German. Thankfully, that's what Babbel is all about. Babbel teaches you language conversationally, which, let's face it, that is what you want to know anyway. I don't know. When I was in school, you learned like how to count. You learned like the colors. You learned the shapes. Those are all important things, but they don't help you when you're in like Cologne, Germany with Ein Nierenstein, which, by the way, is German for kidney stone, an experience I can unfortunately speak personally to. But I've been using Babbel to learn to speak German again, better than I have before. I actually really like it because it is conversational. It's a little bit more relaxed. One of the things that it does that I really like is it'll sometimes show you what the literal English translation is. And I don't know why, but I find that very helpful in sort of understanding the structure, the grammar of a language and sort of putting myself into that mind space. Since I'm only in Germany for Gamescom, which is like a week, week and a half, I'm not immersed in the German language. I'm not immersed in German culture. So what I do is the second best thing. I'm taking Babbel. Hopefully this year when I go to Germany, I'll be able to impress all the Germans with how much German I know from learning through Babbel. The app has pronunciation recognition, so you'll be able to learn how to speak better with your accent, how to actually properly pronounce the words. That way you won't get made fun of by a group of older German men because you said apple strudel and not Apfelstrudel. No, it's really cool. I'm going to say right now there is a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners, because you guys are the best ones, by the way, at babbel.com/realm. Get 60% off at babbel.com/realm. That is spelled babbel.com/realm. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Nintendo Voice Chat. I am joined here by my super ninfriendos, Brian Altano, Logan Plant, and Tom Marks. Thank you for joining us. We're back. It's a new year. We did it, everybody. We made it, mostly. we'll just dive right into some Nintendo news. This is kind of a big deal. Nintendo has acquired Next Level Games. If you're not familiar with Next Level Games, they developed Mario Strikers series, Metroid Prime Federation Force, which everyone's
favorite. Yeah,
everyone's favorite Federation Force. Luigi's Mansion 2 and 3, and one of my, I was very late to the party on it, but one of my favorite games on the Wii, which is Punch-Out for the Wii. If you've never played Punch-Out for the Wii, dust the old Wii off out of storage. Go find it on eBay. I think it's like $25, actually. That game is phenomenal, but that deal is expected to close on March 1st. Brian, what do you think this could mean for the future of the Metroid Prime Federation Force franchise?
Dare you? This is a big year for Metroid. This is a birthday year for That's her correct. And her friends and the aliens. And you know, like to bring up Federation Force, how dare you? Honestly, you have a lot of nerve. I'll say that. I hope we never have to think about that game again, unless it's like in this context. I don't see that being ported to anything. I frankly, I don't want to talk about it anymore. I feel gross talking about that.
Sure.
I hope this means more Luigi games. He's a good, he means well, and he gets in a lot of trouble, and he needs some love. So hopefully more Luigi games. I really hope we get a port of Punch Out for Wii. I feel like I say that every week on the show. A new Punch Out would be awesome. It's really awesome to have that team in house. I think they're incredibly talented, as long as we ignore Federation Force.
I want to ask real quickly about a game called Metroid Prime Federation Force. This is a genuine question, because next level's like, the rest of the games you listed are all great, and I skipped Federation Force entirely. Like, if that game didn't have Metroid Prime at the beginning of the name and wasn't a Metroid game, would it be okay? Or like, was that part of the reaction? Like, this is a genuine question.
Oh, that's a very good question.
No, I think that's a really good question. I think people would have been less me in the last 90 seconds about it in general. But that's a really good question, because I think that specifically it was not just having Metroid, but also having Metroid Prime in the title.
Right.
You know, connotates a lot of warm, positive feelings from gamers who were even accepting of a pinball game. You know, I'm one of those people. I really like Metroid Prime Pinball. I think it's a good game. I think that then it probably would have just been forgotten alongside other sort of forgettable games on the 3DS. But the thing is with that game is it was specifically, I believe, designed or pitched by the creator of Metroid as something, or one of the creators of Metroid, as something that would basically introduce that franchise to like a new younger generation, which it also failed at. So like, it's not even like one of those things where it's like, this is not for me, this is for someone else. Because other people, children, were like, I don't want this garbage either. And so I speak on behalf of all of them. I say it was a bad idea for everyone. But no, you're right.
I think it also just came out at a really bad time, because that was when Metroid had been dormant since, I believe, Other M. So it had been like 5 years since a Metroid title had been seen. And it was before Samus Returns or before we knew about Prime 4. So I think also the fact that it was the first time Metroid had shown up in a really long time is what really irked people at the time that it came out.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that statement. And I will say that for whatever reason, the year that came out, my kids just were dying to get it. And so that was one of their Christmas presents. They each get a copy for their 3DSs, and they actually loved it. And they played it all the time, cooperatively. They had a lot of fun with it. And then the other day, I was in our junk drawer, you know, where you keep like batteries that may or may not work anymore. Mm-hmm. And there was old Metroid Prime Federation for nostalgic.
So it did make a couple of new Metroid fans then.
Yeah.
I mean, they had a lot of fun with it. It's not something that they talk about ever. But then again, they're also a little bit older now, and you know, they have gaming PCs and all the other stuff because I'm their dad. So that's just how it works. But all right, we should move on to the Monster Hunter Rise presentation, which was today, the day that we're recording this. There's a demo out today. By the time you can listen to this episode, the demo, you can be downloading the demo while you listen to us talk about the demo.
I need my Switch next to me when I do the show. I used to bring it into the studio, and now it's like downstairs. I really need it next to me, because every time I do the show, somebody's like, and it's out right now, and I'm like, aha, and I forget.
Yeah, I spent the good part of the morning, but I did spend some time this morning trying to download it, only to find out that it doesn't come out till 3 p.m. Pacific time. So the demo is available until February 1st. You can ride monsters. That's kind of like all you need to know. You can ram them into each other, do some monster smashing, and you can ram them into walls, which I don't see why you wouldn't be able to, but that's good too. There are new and returning monsters revealed. I am not a Monster Hunter person, so please forgive me.
Baryoth and Tigrex.
Thank you. I could have figured out Tigrex. It was the Baryoth one that I was having a little trouble with.
I might be saying that wrong too. It might be Tigrex. I think I go back and forth on that one.
But I think it's Tigrex.
Tigrex. Right. Okay. I thought that was my recollection at least.
Are there any other captchas in the game, or is it just those two?
My favorite part of the Monster Hunter series is where you have to click all the squares that have traffic lights. That's another CAPTCHA joke. thank you.
That's a good one.
Tom.
Yeah.
Am I to understand that you might have some experience playing this?
Yeah.
Well,
Capcom was able to, they sent us a kind of early access to it. So I was able to go hands on with this already, thankfully. And it's a really cool demo. I will say, if you're new to the Monster Hunter series, basically what it is there's an easy hunt, there's an intermediate hunt, and then there's a learn the basics mission and a learn how to wyvern ride, which is the new mechanic, the riding monsters thing, which is basically I say wyvern. I know other people say wyvern. I don't know if there's an official ruling on it, so I just stick with what I know, which is wyvern.
Okay, because I was terrified that I've been saying it wrong this whole time.
I've been saying wyvern my whole life, but also it's fake.
It goes back and forth. I think it is an opinion thing and of a fake creature. Yes, as you said. But anyway, that is actually a really interesting mechanic that I want to explore more, because it's sort of an evolution of a couple things that they did in other games. You could always ride monsters, but you didn't really have much control. And then in Monster Hunter World Iceborne expansion, they gave you the Clutch Claw, which gave you a little more control and also let you ram monsters into walls. And this is basically like you attach strings to them and you control them like a puppet, and you basically become the monster for a short time and have a heavy attack and a light attack and can hold a button to just drive it like a car. And it's like a very weird, cool thing.
How long can you stay on the monster like that?
A surprising amount of time, but less time the more you kind of like do. There's a little timer too. That was a really annoying thing in World, was like you were never 100% sure when you were going to get shaken off, and this gives you like a really clear indication about like how much time you have, how long you're going to ride this thing for. But the more important thing, without getting into the nitty-gritty of this, is like there's four, I think, major monsters spread across the two kind of main missions. If you're new to Monster Hunter, it's a hard game and you're going to get your butt kicked even on the easy mission, just as a word of warning. But the new monsters that I fought in there are really cool. And more importantly, like, the game runs surprisingly well and looks pretty dang good on Switch. Like, if you told me this was basically a port of World, like a Switch quality port of World, I would probably just believe you. Like, it's a really nice looking game. It's, you know, obviously pared down here and there. The frame rate being a little slower is a little hard to get used to for someone who spent hundreds of hours in a like above 60 FPS PC version of this game. But like, yeah, it runs really nicely. It looks really good. It feels a lot like World. It handles a lot like that game. And it's really cool to see what they've done. It doesn't feel like a souped up 3DS game, and it doesn't feel like a compromised version of kind of what World was. And that's really, really cool to see on Switch.
Yeah, that's really exciting, because the only Monster Hunter game on Switch right now is a port of a 3DS game, Generations Ultimate. And it, after playing like 250 hours in World, I tried that one out, and honestly, for that reason, I couldn't get into it. And seeing how well I think this thing runs based on what I've seen, and then hearing you say that's really good to hear, because I'm playing World on PS5 now, which runs on locked 60 frames per second and just looks gorgeous. So I'm excited to hear that it runs well on a dedicated Switch version.
And this is, of course, just my time with the demo, so there could be problems in other areas that I haven't seen yet, that sort of stuff. But like, and it definitely, you know, dips a little bit here and there. It's not like perfect thing, but like, this is a weird thing to say. It runs better than Link's Awakening, right? Like, which is a game that you wouldn't think would have performance problems, and this is a game you would, and it running fine, right? It's totally great. So yeah, I'm excited to just see another game of this kind of fidelity and scale on Switch for sure.
Yeah, I watched the trailer today, and that, like, the visuals were what struck me. I was like, well, this looks really good. And then I got that suspicious feeling. I'm like, well, wait a minute. So to hear you saying that it actually runs and looks good on the Switch, I'm very excited. My youngest son is like crazy into Monster Hunter. He's not at 250 hours like Logan yet, but he's
not yet.
Give him time. So yeah, he's very excited when he gets done with all his virtual school. We're going to download the demo and play. And Brian, I know you for years, you've been talking about Monster Hunter and how I don't know how it works. And
no, I've seriously tried so many times to get into this franchise, and I don't want to be the guy who's always like, "Well, is this one good for newcomers?" But I do want to give it a shot. Like, it just sucks because I feel like it's like this is a really beloved franchise, and the people who get into it get really into it. There are two people on the show that have, what is that, 250 plus 100? Like, that's what happened? Is that a year? Like
10,000 hours.
A couple of months? Like, what is that?
Yeah.
That's an insane amount of time. Like, that's more than I put in like Breath of the Wild and Bloodborne combined, which is in like some of my favorite games of all time. So yeah, I do want to give it a chance. I'll try the demo. If it doesn't click, I will move on with my life and begrudgingly watch other people have more fun than me. It's like stick to baby games like Federation Force. But no, I wish you all well. Have fun out there fighting those big things.
And I will say again, the demo teaches you how to play, but it does not hold your hand, right? Like it is a mechanically complex game. And if you get into this demo and you are fighting things and you're like, I don't really know what I'm doing and I'm dying, like, yeah, like probably that's gonna like might happen. It's just it's a mechanically complex game. It's hard to learn the thing. What I'd say is as just a quick tip to anybody who is trying it, because I do highly recommend it. It's free demo. Go try it. In the first training mission that teaches you how to play, just like spend a ton of time in there, just like messing around with the controls and getting comfortable. Also use dual blades. They're the simplest to immediately pick up and they're the most forgiving in terms of like dodging.
Is it weird that like one of the main reasons I have trouble sticking with that franchise is because you have to sharpen your weapon in the middle of battle? Like I find that like, I understand it's real. It's realistic, I guess. I don't know.
No, it's not. Actually,
it's not, right?
You have to sharpen like a hammer, which doesn't make any sense.
Cause
you have to sharpen a horn. You pull out your hunting horn in the middle of battle and you're like grinding it down to make it sharper.
Like no, I'm super into like FromSoft games where like, you know, your weapon degrades and you have to go and bring it to like the old man and fix it or whatever. Or put it in front of a book, some nonsense. But this having to do that in the middle of battle, like I remember playing with Jared Petty and he was just like, "Oh, your sword is dull now." And I was like, "How? Like it's fake. It's not." So I will say,
news for you. Your sword has gotten dull.
That's totally fair. I will say it is a problem that gets alleviated as you get better gear. Your weapon sharpness stays sharper longer, and there's like ways to mitigate that. And there's even mechanics that are like, there's like, at least in World, there was stuff that was like all about weapon sharpness. Like there was a weapon set that was all about like manipulating that and gaining strength from like stuff like that. So yeah, it's you're totally right. It's one of those little fiddly mechanical parts of Monster Hunter, and I totally don't judge you for, you know, that being the thing, that the straw that breaks the camel's back.
So is this like one of those spreadsheet games that people talk about?
It
like
can be, but I don't think it definitely can be, but also at least with World was accessible enough that if you didn't really want to do that, you could just play it and it wouldn't like it's one of those games that you can spend a lot of time in, or you can like just play kind of through the campaign, or you can get really deep into spreadsheets and all the end game stuff and get crazy into that.
I think in Monster Hunter World you can roll the credits in 20 to 30 hours and
something like that.
Then it just, there's so much content after that though that just keeps it going for literally hundreds of hours. So I do think it's still worthwhile to pick it up if you just want to plow through that main campaign to get to the credits roll at that 30 hour mark.
I'm very interested. I mean like I said, Parker's really into it, so we have World, so I might have to check it. I'm definitely gonna check out the demo. I get every demo that's free, but this is one of the maybe weirdest stories that has come along in a long time, and I think it's hilarious. But I don't know if you guys heard of this, you know, Microsoft, they make Office, they make Excel, you know, things of that nature. Well, they've also made a video game system called the Xbox. I don't know if you've heard of it. Before they made the Xbox, back when they were looking at getting into the video game space, they're like, well, we could either, you know, spend $1 bajillion on R&D and make our own, or we could just acquire somebody. So they went around, they said, hey, EA, hey, Square, hey, Midway, would you have any interest in this? And they're like, I don't know. And then they went to Nintendo, and Nintendo, quote, laughed their asses off. Like, imagine an hour of somebody just laughing at you. That's kind of how that meeting went, end quote. And that was then director of third party relationships, Ken Baca. So yeah, Xbox tried to acquire Nintendo with like no cachet whatsoever in the video game space. They just showed up. They made an Internet Explorer, and that was kind of what their thing was at the time. And they're like, hey, Nintendo, I know you've got 100 years of history, 30 years of video of which are in the video game sphere. We'd like to just throw a lot of money at you. And Nintendo apparently laughed their asses off. Not literally, because that would be tragic and unfortunate.
Yeah, it's kind of great. This is a great moment. I love it.
Yeah, it makes me wonder, like, what does that alternate reality look like where Xbox owns Nintendo? Like, first of all, obviously, Master Chief and Smash, everybody gets that, but it wouldn't be that special because he'd be first
part. The bigger question is, would Smash exist? Right?
Like, yeah, I mean,
that sort of butterfly ripple is like really hard to predict. Like, what would we have even have or have not seen? Right.
Right. I mean, that removes what every Nintendo console since. What year did this?
Oh, GameCube. Well, because yeah, I actually GameCube, traded my original Xbox died and I went to GameStop and I traded it in for a Nintendo GameCube. And I was like, well, I made a mistake a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I should have done this in the first place. But yeah, so we had.
It's pretty clear that like Microsoft then attempted to do the next best thing, which was acquire Rare, which for a very long time was like sort of like definitive pillar of Nintendo, you know, sort of it, third party or, it, you know, in-house developers. And I can confidently say like they squandered that relationship for quite a long time until more recently when we're seeing things like Sea of Thieves, which, you know, is a massively successful hit for them across Xbox and PC. But there was a while there where they took, you know, one of the best developers of that era, right after some of their best games ever, you know, GoldenEye, Perfect Dark, all the Banjo games and stuff like that, Jet Force Gemini, and they made them work on, you know, Xbox Avatar characters, like, which were knockoff Miis. And so, like, I don't necessarily think the exact same thing would have happened, but I think that every now and then, some giant company and some, you know, minuscule forum troll decides that it's a good idea for Nintendo to be purchased by a larger company or a more.
They should get out of the hardware business.
Yeah, because they want Mario on Xbox or something. And it's like removing that, like you said, butterfly effect, like I think it decimates so many interesting and wonderful things that have come out of Nintendo's history over the last 15, 20 years. That it's insurmountable to me that that would ever become a thing. Like, there is so much cool stuff that Nintendo has done by playing by the beat of their own drum, doing their own thing, you know, coming out with completely crazy, insane, diagonal out of left field ideas that none of us expect to be good and turn out to be amazing. That putting that underneath a company that just purchased them and having them follow directions instead of leading by their own example would, I think, irrevocably destroy video game history as we know it.
Yeah. I mean, that's why Nintendo laughed them out of the room.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Microsoft did come up with Kinect, which was the first version, very successful. However, the success of the Kinect was driven less by the fact that it was a cool novelty item that worked and more the $500 million that Microsoft spent marketing the Xbox 360 Kinect. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm.
But would the Kinect have even existed if the Wii hadn't happened?
Exactly. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think so.
It's like PlayStation Move. Like, come on, guys.
Right,
like,
right.
You didn't just think this up.
And that's the other part of this interview, too, that I thought was really interesting was they also said that in 2000, they had Nintendo come to Microsoft and basically said, here's the technical specs of the Xbox. You just keep making Mario games and we'll make your systems. Mm-hmm. And like what that world is really interesting to think about too, where like the GameCube was just the Xbox, but like all those GameCube games we remember were made for the what technical specs of the Xbox. It's like a really interesting bizarro land to think about. And I'm sure conversations like this happen all the time that we just never hear about, right? So it's not like this ever came close to happening. It either happened or it didn't, but like, well, yeah, it's really interesting.
And that was such a fascinating generation because, you know, Microsoft had acquired Rare. They were making Grab by the Ghoulies. That was like their signature game for that generation for a while. But in terms of power, the Xbox and the GameCube were pretty damn close. And in terms of sales, they were incredibly close. So there wouldn't have been really a strategic advantage either way. It's not like it's not like, you know, PlayStation at the time sold something 100-something million more units. That would have been a bigger story, right? I mean, there is also that other timeline where Nintendo and PlayStation worked together and famously got divorced and then split off into two different generations. But that really wouldn't have benefited anybody. Like, in fact, it probably would have helped Microsoft more because they would have been like, oh, we have the namesake value of you know, decades of Nintendo IPs. But Nintendo made a competent, strong, you know, not so great selling hardware on their own. So and like the cool thing, like the footnote about all this is that Microsoft and Nintendo have a really awesome relationship now. You know, we see a lot of formerly exclusive first party Xbox games get ported to Switch. I think we'll continue to see that. I think that's just getting started. That's really cool to see when the cross-play stuff was happening. Microsoft and Nintendo joined forces really quickly while Sony kind of dragged their feet, bringing Fortnite to the table and stuff like that. And so I think that, like, at the end of the day, there's a really strong relationship there that was forged from, you know, I guess this weird original pitch to buy them out.
Yeah, I got to admire the audacity.
Yeah, Microsoft. The unmitigated gall.
Yeah. All right. Now we're going to talk about some sad news.
Isn't that sad?
Hundreds of people are losing a trusted friend in the Netflix service on their Wii U and 3DS, which, by the way, I didn't actually know Netflix was on 3DS, but it doesn't matter. It's winding down this year, and there is, of course, there's still no sign of the Switch app for, we don't really know why. The apps have been removed from both the Wii U and 3DS eShop, so if you have your Wii U plugged in and you're just now adding Netflix to it, you can't do that anymore. And the same with your 3DS, which I could say there's probably more of a case for, like, having your 3DS around. I have mine back there. I'm probably going to go back to Bravely Second, but the service itself ends June 30th. That's it. You won't be able to watch Netflix on your Wii U anymore. But strangely, we don't have Netflix on the Switch yet for whatever reason. And, you know, it's easy to think of technical excuses for that, but then we have Hulu and YouTube. So
it's also, and I point this out every single time, you cannot watch Netflix on Switch, but you can play multiple video games based on Netflix original series on Switch. There's Stranger Things, The Dark Crystal. I'm sure we'll get
there's a Narcos game.
Yeah.
Cobra Kai game. There's a Peaky Blinders game, I think, on Switch too. Maybe that only came to PC. I don't know.
It's on Switch. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. There's at least four or five Netflix games. And no Switch, no Netflix app.
I straight up do not know what's going on with that. Like, it feels like a joke at this point, like, just to see how long they can keep that from being a thing. It feels crazy to me, honestly.
To be fair, Hulu only came semi-recently, too. Like, Netflix wasn't the only one. They are now the main one dragging their feet, but they weren't the only one dragging their feet.
I could have sworn Hulu was there pretty early.
Yeah, I think it was YouTube that came long ago.
Yeah. Okay. I knew it was one of those. Yeah. That it's just very strange. I don't understand it either. I'm not really, like, sad about it because I have, like, 12 devices hooked up to my TV that can play Netflix. Yeah. So, like, I'm not including the TV itself. But, like, so it's not like a tragedy to me. I'm not upset about it, but I am, like, it is very confusing.
Yeah.
Logan, did you ever watch Netflix on 3DS or Wii
U? I actually did. I checked my play log before coming on the show, and I watched Netflix on 3DS for over 100 hours.
What? Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was a really late adopter. I didn't have a smartphone when the 3DS was out, and so that was kind of my main device to watch stuff on. I remember watching the entirety of Futurama on my 3DS.
So,
I actually got some good use out of that.
Wow.
That's incredible. I mean, we clown on the Wii U, but the Amazon Prime Video app on the Wii U was actually amazing because it had all those X-ray features on the gamepad. So you like be able to read the IMDb entries on everybody and like trivia and stuff while you're watching the movies.
I really enjoyed that for the first few weeks when I was like convincing my wife that the Wii U was the future, you know?
Yeah.
So like in the same way when like the Kinect launched on the Xbox One and I was just like, Xbox, play movie. And it just didn't work. You know?
I love that. Yeah.
What a time to be alive.
This year, I decided I actually wanted to like follow hockey a little bit more than just the most casual of casuals. So I subscribed to a service that streams all of the NHL to your television. The Boston Bruins home opener. I went to watch it and boom. Blackout restrictions apply, which I thought was kind of ridiculous because I'm still 200 miles away from Boston, but whatever. Had I had NordVPN, that wouldn't have been a problem. I would have just gone in, changed my settings to another geographic area, and boom, I could have been watching all the Boston Bruins home games like it was nothing at all. So now I have NordVPN, and I can watch the home games of my local teams streaming without being frustrated. It's the same thing with like Netflix. It has all these complicated licensing rules, which from one country to another don't really make sense. So something you could watch on South Korean Netflix, you won't be able to watch on the United States Netflix unless NordVPN, boom, switch to South Korea, and you're watching whatever Korean drama that you want. I highly recommend you do that. I haven't done it myself, but people seem to enjoy them. And who am I to try to bring down people's enjoyment? NordVPN, more than just entertainment and sports availability, it's going to protect you, especially when you're traveling, when you're using public Wi-Fi. People are trying to get in there. They're creeping on you. Bad actors, people trying to steal your password, your bank account details. Who knows what the government's doing these days? I can't keep track. They're all over the damn place. NordVPN. It's going to protect you. It's going to protect up to 6 devices because I know you have at least that many devices in front of you right now that can hook up to the internet. Boom. Fastest VPN in the world. You're not going to get any buffering. You're not going to get any lagging. It's going to stop your ISP from bandwidth throttling, which they do. That's kind of sneaky, especially how much you're paying those guys. There's threat protection to protect you from viruses and malicious malware and whatever else. Unsavory actors are out there. If you want to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. That's nordvpn.com/NintendoVC. Victor Charlie. That link is also going to give you 4 extra months on the 2-year plan. There is no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. That's nice of them, and I appreciate that.
Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this. Talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
All right, we're going to leave the past behind us, and we're going to get to our 2021 predictions spectacular. Now, all of the members of the panel here have prepared 5 incredible, possibly true 2021 Nintendo predictions, and we're going to present them here to you today and then probably revisit them when they all come true, because it's a magical wish year. And I met a genie yesterday, and the first thing I did was I wished for more wishes, and he wasn't expecting that. He thought it was too obvious. So we have infinite wishes. So Logan, please, I would like to hear your 2021 Nintendo predictions.
All right, all five or just one?
Hit us with the list.
All right. My first prediction is I think we're going to see a new WarioWare on Switch this year. I think it's going to be a full $59.99 title. The last one was WarioWare Gold on 3DS, which was, I think, 2018. So it's been a few years. And I think that WarioWare just makes too much sense on Switch with the Joy-Cons, with the touchscreen and handheld mode. I was thinking maybe there could be something where you put two Switch screens together like Super Mario Party did a couple years ago. So yeah, I think it's time for WarioWare to come back.
Man, that's way better than all five of mine. So please keep going.
My number two is, as part of Zelda's 35th anniversary, they're going to announce Breath of the Wild sequel for a November release date. But like every 3D Zelda game, it's going to get delayed to March of 2022, right around the 5-year anniversary of Breath of the Wild and the Switch.
Hmm. That's actually extremely plausible.
Yeah, I think so. I think for sure it's going to get delayed after it gets announced for a release date.
Yeah, absolutely.
My number three is that Nintendo's going to continue experimenting with limited time release software like 3D All-Stars this year. And it's going to be with Zelda again. I think we're going to get a Zelda collection with Wind Waker HD, Twilight Princess HD, and a Skyward Sword HD port that is still going to use motion controls with the Joy-Con disappointing everybody.
No, that's perfect. That's the cherry on top. That makes it seem like it's probably going to be real.
Yeah, there's got to be some caveats to all of Nintendo predictions.
Something that disappoints everybody. Yeah. It's like Mother 3 on 3DS only.
I'd play it. I'd still get it. Yeah, Earthbound needs to come. That should have been one of my predictions, that Earthbound comes to the Switch Online app, because it's still not there.
Yeah.
No, spoilers.
My predictions, but...
Oh, sorry about that. My number four is, I think with Smash Ultimate, we're going to see a third Fighter's Pass announced. The second one is supposed to wrap up this year. Sakurai said that this is it. He has said probably a dozen times that he's done with Smash Bros. In the past, so I think Nintendo's going to make him do a third one. I also just hope for this, because I think that Smash Ultimate is a non-replicable experience with how many amazing third-party characters are in there. So I think they just got to keep pumping it full of new characters while they have the chance before they try to make a sequel and lose the licenses to some of these characters. And my number five, I wanted to make a really out there prediction just to see if it could come true. And I said that Splatoon is going to return this year as a spin-off 2.5D action platformer. Ooh. And my reasoning is that I think Splatoon 2 sold like crazy, right? Over 10 million units on Switch. I think that it's a really lucrative franchise that Nintendo's going to want to return to. But like Mario Kart and Smash, I think it's only a one main entry per console type of deal. So I think they're going to venture into some sort of spinoff for Splatoon. And I think a platform would really suit the franchise with like weapons and swimming through the ink as different mechanics in an action platformer game.
This is not Splatoon related, nor do you turn into a squid now or a kid now, but you should look up a platformer called Splasher that is on Switch.
It's
one of my favorites from a few years back. Lots of painting walls and using those effects. So you're interested in a Splatoon platformer, Splasher might actually scratch a little bit of that itch, because that's a really good idea.
I'm very happy you were able to conjure that name, because I played a bunch of that game and I forgot what it was called, because that was the first thing I thought of. I was like, oh, we kind of have like a prototype of that right now.
Splasher is probably one of the more underrated 2D platformers of recent years, I think. It's like really good and just kind of didn't get talked about a ton.
Well, Tom, why don't you talk about your 2021 Nintendo predicciones?
Okay, there's a little bit of overlap here, but I'll try to keep...
That's okay. Overlap is bound to happen.
It's supposed to be like weird ideas, but also a lot of mine got real negative.
That can happen with Nintendo.
Yeah, look at that negativity in 2020, buddy.
Because you said wild predictions.
Yeah.
That also had a plausible piece of truth to them. So it was like good things with something bringing it back down to earth for me.
That's perfect.
E3. We'll be back with an actual coordinated digital event this year, and Nintendo, in suit, will have a large Nintendo Direct, and it won't be the week of E3. That's my prediction, is that they're gonna have a large E3-style Direct and not actually be part of E3, and it'll probably come in like July or August or something.
So after E3, they're going to totally miss the party.
Okay. Oh, yeah, they're totally going to miss the party. They'll have it, but it won't be there. Yeah.
On August 31st.
Is it a party if Nintendo's not even there to begin with? I mean, come on.
So here's a realistic prediction that has an optimistic twist. I agree. I think there's going to do some sort of Zelda collection of older Zelda games that they will bring back, and they won't be available for a limited time. That's the unrealistic part of that. next, I'm just going to leave this one out here. One sentence. Breath of the Wild 2 out sooner than we expect. That's all I got.
Okay.
What do you expect, though?
Exactly. That's why it's personal, and okay. I can't be wrong. Because at least one person will be right. Next, I think Smash Bros. Is going to follow suit of Sephiroth and add another long-awaited villain. Add Dr. Eggman.
Oh, I'm on board with that. That sounds great.
Me too.
Yeah. I'd actually be cool with that too. It might happen, but it seems a little out there. But who knows? They buffed up their Final Fantasy roster. Mm-hmm. And then finally, while I don't think we're going to get new actual Switch hardware this year, especially with what Doug Bowser was saying, I'm going to wildly predict that Nintendo will release some type of new controller sort of thing for the Switch, ideally some sort of new type of Joy-Con or something, and it will probably still have drift.
I thought you were going to fix the drift. That's your thing.
No. We got to keep it a little realistic.
The DriftCon.
Yeah.
Drift right in, so you don't have to get mad about it.
I would. That's my big desire, is that they release an upgraded, official upgraded Joy-Con that have like a D-pad, have analog triggers, and don't have drift, basically. Like, that's my pie in the sky wish for Nintendo for new Joy-Con. Whether that happened or not, I don't know, but I think it's more likely that we get a new any type of controller, even if it's a new type of like pro controller type thing, than getting new like actual Switch hardware this year.
Oh man, with some reactive triggers like on the DualSense.
That's maybe
diving into
optimistic.
The ink and having it feel like you're diving into the ink. Oh my god. Anyway. Brian.
That'd be great.
Please let us know your predictions.
It's Zelda's birthday, so I think we're going to get Oracle of Ages and Seasons, but woo. I think and they'll be done in the Link's Awakening art style, but they'll actually run well this year. And I think the unrealistic prediction of that is that they will be packaged together for $60 rather than $60 each.
So think that's unrealistic.
I think that's incredibly unrealistic. I think Nintendo will sell them for $60 each, and I'll begrudgingly buy them both. Next prediction. I think the Amiibo line will end with Smash Brothers. I think that'll be it. No more. They'll do the cat stuff for Mario or whatever they announced. A couple other cake toppers, and then whatever they're doing for the rest of Smash, and that's it. I think they're seeing diminishing returns of that. I think that line has exceeded expectations, but also reached its limits. And I don't think that they're actually being used for anything worthwhile anymore. I think that it's just them piloting collectibles at this point, which I think they have many other means of getting into.
For 3D World Deluxe, I saw that the Cat, Peach, and Mario just unlock power-ups, which is really disappointing, but
yeah,
I guess that's what we've come to expect.
That's very odd. Shigeru Miyamoto will retire. But it will be to do something unexpected, like join a band.
Oh, I think he's gonna live inside Bowser's Castle at Nintendo World.
Speaking of which, next prediction, somebody will get arrested for stealing something large from Super Nintendo World. I can't tell you exactly what that is. We haven't figured that out yet.
Entire Mario Kart. Mm-hmm. They just drive it off the ride.
This hypothetical person is still talking with friends and criminal family members and co-conspirators to figure out exactly what they can take and how. But we'll get back to you. And finally, Nintendo will reveal a brand new Metroid Prime 4 logo. think it's been a few years with the same logo, and
I think this is what we all want.
This is a big anniversary year for Metroid, so obviously fans around the world were looking for an update, and I think we're gonna get a brand new logo. I think they might move the four in front of the other part of the word now.
Totally new kerning.
Yeah, totally new stuff. So, you know, websites like IGN will finally have a new image to put on their blog roll every time they have something to say about it. You know, so this is this is gonna be a huge year for the Metroid Prime franchise
logo. Yeah, those
maybe a 4K subtitle.
Yeah. Oh man.
Ooh.
Now you're going crazy.
Yeah, you're going crazy there.
Calm down.
Rain it in.
See, every prediction that everyone's made so far is I can see actually like actually happening. So that's why mine are following suit. So my first prediction, Switch Pro, 100%. We're getting that this year. It's going to be a new like mid cycle hardware renovation with a dock that has the graphics card basically built into it, like I've been saying forever. And you'll be able to use your old Switch and beef up the graphics to what they are, because all the graphical processing will be handled in the dock itself rather than the Switch console. Number two, I think Breath of the Wild 2 is coming fourth quarter this year. I think that's going to be their big holiday game for 2021. I also, this is where I start to go off the rails a little bit. I think they're going to announce an all new mega cheap 100% cloud streaming handheld Nintendo console. It doesn't accept carts at all. It only works on Wi-Fi and cellular networks and streams all your favorite Nintendo games and maybe Microsoft Game Pass for all we know. Number four, Mother 3 is going to get a highly sought after and extremely limited, newly packaged vinyl release from I Am 8-Bit. And finally, number five, I do think that 2021 is the year that we see a viable Virtual Boy system come back.
Wow, you started real like, all right, I can see that, and then just went like crazy.
Yeah.
That's escalation. What you gotta do though, because then if you're right. Yeah, exactly.
Cast a wide net. The business of prediction is all about casting a wide net, and then the out of the 100 ridiculous things that you predict, when one of them comes true, then you can be like, "Look, I told you. I knew this was going to happen. Who can you trust, baby?
So,
who can you trust more than me?
Is this Virtual Boy made of cardboard?
No. It will be a headset Virtual Boy system. We won't have to sit on the table. You won't have to lean forward and do irreparable damage to your spine to look.
Will it be red and black still?
It will be red and black only in the mock-ups that people make when they first announce it, and we get that, you know, every time they announce a console, everybody makes mock-ups. So there will be that, but only the mock-ups, I'm afraid.
Brian will probably make that, yeah.
Yeah, Brian will make it. It'll be awesome. It'll be hilarious. Everyone will enjoy it. It'll get 64,000 retweets, and Brian will have to mute it immediately so he could use his phone again. So those are our official Nintendo Voice Chat 2021 predictions. All of them are planned to come true. These are about as realistic as that leaked document that was going around the other day. So
that thing was ridiculous.
If you want sweet internet points, just take the things we just said and make them in a note on your phone, and then take a picture of your phone so it's blurry, a little bit shaky, and then post that online and say it's leaked and
you'll, put right. for internal use only at the top.
Exactly. There you go. Yeah.
We all know during the pandemic, everyone is printing out and disseminating copies of secret lists.
I want to say too that if you are in the comments, leave the name of Miyamoto's new band, and you will also get points. The best one wins something.
Yeah, you win internet points.
You can come on the hypothetical heist to steal something from Super Nintendo World.
I feel like the first thing that came to my mind was Shiggy and the Motos.
Yeah, that's good.
I like that a lot. All right, we real quick, we're gonna talk about the games that are out this week. There aren't any. Games this week.
It's not. Well, there are, but they're not like it's the first week of January is not like a first and second week of January is not like the hottest time. I did, if I may, I wanted to call out a couple that came out over the break while we were off that are just worth shouting out, if not like the most exciting things in the world. A really cool top-down SWAT team game called Door Kickers that's a few years old on Steam came out. That's really cool. The digital version of a really fun cardboard game called Wingspan came out on Switch. I've heard good things about the Steam version of that. I don't know how well it runs on Switch, but it's a very pretty game about birds. And then there's a ton of Bit Trip games just came out over at the end of last year, too. The first Bit Trip Runner is still just a great, great, great game. And then also one called Bit Trip Beat is basically like super intense Pong. And that one's really fun, too.
Cool. Those games are both really awesome. Did they package them together in like one bundle, or can you only buy them individually?
I'm not sure if there's a bundle. I know that they are sold individually at least, though.
Yeah, because I looked at the eShop over break and I just noticed there was like a bunch of them just kind of threw up all over the front page. And yeah. I was hoping they put them together in one box, but I'll check them out.
Collection. Mm-hmm. I think it was Runner 3 was like the first game that I reviewed. When I got hired on. So I gave it a 7. It was a charming little game. Very frustrating. especially when it's your first review and you know, mm-hmm. you're the big times now. So those are good games. And Charles Martinet does the narration for Runner 3. So I was like, this guy sounds like Mario. So we've given our 2021 Nintendo predictions. And now it's time to hear from you for your 2021 Nintendo predictions. So these are some yappas. Please leave yappas when they're called for, because I love them and they're like one of my favorite things to like be able to talk to you and see you. So this first one is from Sean S.
Hey NBC, pipe dream prediction here. What if Nintendo gave Star Fox to the guys who made Rez? Imagine like a rhythm music-based Star Fox shooter. That would be so cool. Keep it awesome, guys. Thanks.
Aw. Yeah, I
rules.
Picked this one out because I like that a lot.
Yes!
It's a great idea.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah. That would be amazing.
That's one of those ideas that I'm like mad about hearing because I want it now.
Yeah, I know.
It's like, where does Star Fox go like now? You know, there's just, it's a space battle game, but it's on rails and it doesn't, you know, but a Rez type rhythm shooting Star Fox. And
especially if it was like low poly or like wireframe at times too. Yes. Man, that'd be so cool.
Oh,
that'd
man.
Be awesome.
Thank you, Sean, for that. This next one is from Alan Boone with his 2021 prediction.
The craziest Nintendo prediction I can think of is that they acknowledge the Metroid anniversary at all and release the Metroid Prime trilogy on Switch. And to make it even crazier, they also release a new Metroid amiibo and a new 2D Metroid on Switch.
Yes. Hmm?
Crazy, huh?
That is crazy.
I love this guy's. I love his delivery.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah. No, I like that. A 2D Metroid. I mean, Other M was such a bummer for everybody that I love the original Metroid and I love Super Metroid. I just like, yeah, a 2D Metroid. I would. I'm all over that. Please make mm-hmm. that happen. Please make all of our Metroid dreams come true. This is our final yappa from. I'm not gonna say it right. Because he's Scandinavian. Sonny Vaughn?
Ooh.
Sounds good. Sounds good. I believe it.
Hi, NBC. It's your Scandinavian super ninfriendo, Sonny Vaughn. And here's some of my predictions.
I nailed it!
We won't see from Nintendo this year. Advance Wars. It's gone. DLC for Super Mario Party. I don't get why not, but we won't see it. folders or any kind of major changes to the Switch's UI. A sequel to Wii Music. Too bad. Mario and Sonic at the Olympic Games, Tokyo 2021. Netflix, Waluigi and Smash. And lastly, but not leastly, proper voice chat on Switch. Those are my predictions for what we won't see this year. Have a good one.
Yeah, I think he nailed it. Yeah, 10 out of 10.
Predictions that have been made on this episode. He's probably batting 1,000.
Not the point, but I'm a big fan of lastly but not leastly. That's a nice little phrase. I want to throw that in the rotation.
Yeah, if we get voice chat, we'd have to change the name of the show too. So hopefully that doesn't happen.
Yeah, that is something we worry about every day. What? All right. We're in question block now. Our first question is from Carl DeNovio. Carl asks, if you could resurrect any dead or dormant third-party franchise, sorry, pair, no F-Zero, got to make you think about it at least a little, and have it made by any developer, what would you choose and who would do it? That's a tough one because it has to be third-party.
Yeah, I'm a little stuck on the who, but I think I would know what, just as like, I don't know why, because there's a lot of great third-party dead franchises that could come back, but one I would love to see kind of brought into the modern age in an interesting way is Tactics Ogre or Ogre Battle.
That's a very good... Yeah, that's a very...
Because there's a lot of turn-based... Like, we're not, like, wanting for turn-based strategy games like that, but, like, it would be really interesting to see what, like, a really experienced developer... Like, even the makers of the Fire Emblem series, if you were basically like, here, take this... Yeah. Take this series and make a twist on kind of what you normally do in that world. Like, I'd love to see what that would be.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
But what about you, Logan? What would you like to be brought back?
This isn't dormant. It had a HD remake come out a couple years ago, but Super Monkey Ball in its original form of Super Monkey Ball 1 and 2 are... two of my favorite games ever made. I think they're phenomenal. And then after that, the series took a rapid, rapid turn downhill. And I think that Toshihiro Nagoshi, who was the creator of Monkey Ball and then went on to direct F-Zero GX, and now he's the director of the Yakuza series. I think if he just comes back and works with Sega to make a new Monkey Ball, then I think that it can stay with Sega like it's always been. But yeah, I miss classic Monkey Ball. I still play Monkey Ball 1 and 2 every year. And Banana Blitz was the wrong choice when they picked to remake that one. They really should have remade 1 and 2. And I think that's the consensus of the Monkey Ball fandom as well.
Nice. All right. Mine is kind of cheating because I was going to say Xanadu, because there was originally a Xanadu, which I think was on like Spectrum ZX or something. And Xanadu is Famicom Xanadu. But that was one of my favorite NES games. And I would like to see that brought back. But like From Software take on that. Are you guys familiar with Xanadu at all?
No.
You're not like even a little bit. You run around and you climb a giant tree. The tree of life has poisoned its roots and the world is dying. And it's up to you to go up to the top. It's such like 80s plot, you know, like there's a tree of life in the center of the world and it's dying and it's up to you to rescue it. But it's one of my favorite games. It had like some light RPG elements. It was a really fun game for its time, and I would love to see the return of that, but From Software take it over and make it kind of grittier, make it impossibly hard, because it turns out, now that I've played Demon's Souls, I actually like that game, and it's the first one of those games that I've ever liked before, so like bring them together.
Well, I'll add on to Sonny's list of predictions not going to happen this year, and I'll put that one on the list.
Look, all they have to do is listen to this episode and just... give me a call and we'll talk details. We can make this happen. I'm going to not say this person's last name correctly. Neil Tracy? 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 Neil wants to know, with the recent acquisition of Next Level Games, what other studios would you like to see Nintendo snatching up? Tom?
Honestly, this is a weird one for me because I don't really care. Like I know that's like a weird thing, but like Nintendo has such a good history and such a healthy and consistent history of working with like second party studios, right? To make really good games. Like I think this is best evidenced by the fact that like they don't own HAL, right? Like,
yeah.
Right. Like that's like a really weird thing where you're like, oh, it's weird that they don't own that company. Or like, for example, they don't own the Pokemon company, right? Like that's like a relationship that they have that you think is very core Nintendo, but like isn't technically owned by them. So like, I was actually a little surprised when they said they were buying Next Level Studios because like, oh, or Next Level Games, because it just seemed like they already had that relationship with them. Like, I don't think they need to go on a buying spree the way Microsoft has done recently.
Right.
So I don't really have a strong opinion of who I would want to see them buy next necessarily.
Sure.
Yeah, for my pick, I just put the one I feel like they work with consistently the most right now that they don't own, and that's Grezzo, who worked on the Zelda 3DS remakes, Triforce Heroes, Ever Oasis, and Link's Awakening. They're a second party right now that they just work with a lot, and So I think that one would make the most sense. But like Tom was saying, it doesn't need to happen because they do already have that working relationship, and Grezzo basically only makes Nintendo games right now. So but that would be my pick of just kind of the next one down that they don't own that they work with the most.
And I think that's a good pick too. Like, I'm not necessarily saying that it shouldn't happen, right? It's just like, I don't really know the business of like why specifically they decide to buy a company or not. And so like, yeah, but I think
that's keep Microsoft from buying them because they're buying everybody right now.
I guess that is the answer, right? Yeah. You protect them.
Yeah. Yeah. Mine is a cheat, but I would love it if Nintendo owned M2, because M2, if you're not familiar with them, they did all the Sega Ages collections. They did the Sega Genesis Mini. They did the TurboGrafx-16 Mini. They are probably the greatest game preservationists going by. There's nobody even close. Digital Eclipse is their closest, but even they like want to be M2 because they have such a huge back catalog of historically significant works that should be preserved and celebrated. And that's what, like, maybe my favorite thing about M2 is, you know, with the Final Fantasy Legends collection that Square just put out, there's nothing there. There's like some wallpapers and that's it. But if you go to the Castlevania Anniversary Collection, which M2 did, you get a million different things. Not only do you get all the different games, you get like history, you get to listen to the soundtracks. There's all these amazing filters, the attention to detail the M2 puts into everything that they do. That's why I gave, part of the reason I gave the Sega Genesis Mini such, I think I gave it an 8 or maybe a 9, but just because it was such, it was so well done and charming, just the menus and everything. And the same with the TurboGrafx-16. It'll never happen. It's probably for the best anyway, because M2 now just works with whoever wants to like put out an awesome collection. And I think that should continue, but that's my answer. This next one's an easy question. Robert Burkhalter, I'm going to answer it first. Do you all think E3 is done after last year? And my answer is maybe. Maybe
it
is.
You said it was an easy question.
Yeah, maybe. There's only three ways to answer a question, yes or no, or maybe. You learned that in computer science, logic.
I guess I already gave my answer to this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's done by any means, but I do think it's not going to look like it ever did again.
Right.
Or at least not anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it's going to be radically different than what we've, you know.
Even not to get into real world events, even if the entire world was vaccinated for COVID-19 by the time E3 would happen this year, E3 will not happen this year, right? Like, those things take a massive production. Also, I can't imagine that many people are going to even feel comfortable being in a room like that again. Like, I imagine that E3 has had more, if they're smart, has had more time to prepare for doing what E3 is going to look like this year, but it's not going to look like it did. It's not just going to be back in 2021 is my feeling. But I don't think it's just dead and gone.
Right. Do you agree with that, Logan?
Yeah, I think I agree with Tom. It's not going to look anything like E3 of years past this year, but kind of from Nintendo's standpoint, regardless of what happens, I hope that in future years, there's just some way for them to have an excuse to come out and have a big E3 style Nintendo Direct, because we haven't had a Nintendo Direct since September of 2019, like a full length, first party focused Direct. It's been over a year since we've had one of those.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of mini ones, ones focused on single games, the partner showcases, but it's been a long time. And I think because of that, 2020 for Nintendo almost felt like they didn't really show up, because these announcements were just sprinkled throughout Twitter drops and YouTube drops and random announcements that, I think, Tom, you did a feature on IGN where if you put it all together, or Zach did, if you put it all together, that would have made for a pretty good E3 showcase, but it wasn't there. So it just didn't quite have that landing. I think it would have if it was all bundled together. So I just think we need some sort of event where Nintendo shows up and really lays out the next year of its first party games, because when they put on a good Nintendo Direct presentation that hits, there's really nothing else like it in games.
Yeah, that is absolutely true. Do I think E3 is done? No. Do I think it's done, not happening this year? Probably not. And for like just obvious reasons, it's probably not going to happen. But I think the most obvious sign that we're not getting an E3 is in years past, by now, I would have gotten an email from somebody asking what I was going to be doing for E3 and come check out their game. Because literally you start getting emails in January and then, you know, 6 months ahead. So I haven't gotten one of those yet. So those things
take months to plan.
Yeah. I mean, it's an enormous event. And I don't think E3 is done. I think it's not coming back this year, but I think in years. Yeah. And whatever happens, just Nintendo, just give us more directs. Or maybe they'll go to PAX, because PAX is in like June or like late June this year, I think. And last year was the last time, you know, PAX East, it was in February. That was the last time any of us got together. And Nintendo had that amazing Animal Crossing booth, which was phenomenal. And then we all had to go home forever. And here we are. Here we are now. Hey, it worked out good. We all get to be on a podcast together. Robert F. Gruner wants to know, this is kind of ties in. Do you think there will be a Nintendo Direct or Mini Direct before February 12th to tell us what Bowser's Fury actually is?
Yes, I do. Yeah. I think it'll be a Mini Direct just on Bowser's Fury and 3D World, because I don't think they want to take attention away from that game before it comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if we get a decent amount of actual Nintendo communication, Nintendo Directs over the next month, to be honest, of like, you know, there was those rumors about like maybe something's cooking on Pokemon because they started taking down the Directs from last year. Which are unsubstantiated. They're just speculation. Right. Yeah. So maybe we'll get something there. I'm sure we'll get an update on Bowser's Fury and 3D World at some point. We just got this Monster Hunter Rise thing, right? Like, I think that January is going to be a good year for like learning about Nintendo things, because there's just like there's still some unanswered questions right now.
Yeah, like what is Bowser's Fury? Now, I'm curious if Robert's asking like what that part of the game is, or if he wants to know what he's so furious about. Those are two separate things right there. But
furious because he's been losing for 35 years.
That is true. Keeps getting thrown into lava. That'll make anybody mad. I don't care who you are. King of the Koopas or what. But that's all the time we have. Thank you for your questions. We love them. You might see me hanging out on the Facebook group sometime. So if you're not a member of that group, go ahead and join. And I'll like when you say something funny sometimes, because I don't really use Facebook. But Logan, thank you so much for being here. Tom, thank you for joining me. Brian actually had to leave us because he said he wasn't planning a heist, but then he had a briefcase handcuffed to his wrist when he got up. So we think something is going on. But that's NVC for the first week of 2021. And remember, this is the only place where you can
get the thing.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.